Gerritsen and Toth presents The Shift with Jack Johnson on ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM and 94.5 FM.
We are back with another edition of The Shift on 94.5 FM and 1510 AM ESPN Kansas City. I am your host, Jack Johnson, alongside Marco Marquez. Shout out to our presenting sponsors, starting with Gerritsen and Toth. They handle the most complex felony, federal, or state criminal defense cases. You'll find them in doing that successfully, helping criminal defendants all over the Kansas City area and Northeast Kansas for years. If you want to talk about a bounce back game, avenging what you did the week before, the Kansas City Chiefs did exactly that. Now, I don't want to say the Chiefs blasted the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It was only a 10-point win. But maybe some garbage time points helped that out for Tampa Bay. Didn't look as bad on the scoreboard at the end of it. But that's about as resounding of a win as you could have against the number one ranked defense in the NFL. Now the Chiefs defense, which played very well last Sunday against the Indianapolis Colts, they did not have their greatest performance, but keep in mind, you're playing without some key starters on that defense. You don't have Mike Dana. You don't have Trent McDuffie. You don't have Willie Gay Jr. You're relying on some guys that needed to step up, guys like Jalen Watson, guys like Leo Chenal, guys like Carlos Dunlap, George Karloftis. So I can't be too critical from what I saw with the defense last night. But the offense looked to be back on track. It took 1 week. We all lost our minds. We all panicked. They played poorly against a bad Colts team, a very bad Colts team at that, and then had the task of trying to bounce back against Tom Brady and the number one ranked defense in the NFL. And to quote Nuke LaLoosh from Bull Durham, the Chiefs more than announced their presence with authority. First moment of the game, the special teams, which was a disaster against the Colts, force a turnover. Two plays later, Chiefs are up 7-0. And you felt like in that moment, that exact moment, game was over. That the Chiefs came out hair on fire, wanted to kick ass. And they did that. They were pissed off. And we've said this on the show before, that the most dangerous Chiefs team is a Chiefs team that has bulletin board material. You know, when they're expected to blow somebody out, it doesn't always happen because it's tough to live up to those expectations at times. It's the NFL. It's any given Sunday. You can lose to just about anybody in this league. Yes, there are teams that are mismatched, but one bad performance, one off day from your quarterback, one bad day from your defense, you can lose a football game. Last season, the Buffalo Bills lost to the Jacksonville Jaguars 9-6. Good teams can lose to bad teams. But the last thing you want to give a really good team is a reason to kick your teeth in. And Shaq Barrett gave the Chiefs offensive line, gave Patrick Mahomes, gave Andy Reid, gave that entire Chiefs sideline a reason to punch somebody in the mouth. And Shaq Barrett said it was going to be a coming out party, said this offensive line was really no different than the Super Bowl offensive line, and that, without really saying it but hinting at it, it was going to be a long day for Patrick Mahomes. Now, I believe Patrick Mahomes was sacked only once, and it was from a play that he was trying to extend, maybe waited in the pocket too long, but the offensive line played great. And one of my favorite moments from the game last night, it will go unnoticed, there were some magical, heroic plays by Patrick Mahomes, and those will look flashy, and those are fun to watch. But the one that flies under the radar a little bit was on the Chiefs' second score of the game. That Clyde Edwards-Helaire gets the handoff from Jerick McKinnon in a wildcat formation, and Clyde picks up the first down, and he's still 3 yards away from the goal line. He gets stood up, and Orlando Brown Jr., Joe Tooney, Creed Humphrey, Trey Smith, Andrew Wiley all just bulldoze him across the pylon. Just crushed the Bucs' defensive front, the front four. Made him look like a JV squad. They were stronger. They were pissed off. Creed Humphrey mentioned that and the postgame with Mick Schaefer that, you know, we try not to pay attention to that stuff, but we knew what he said, and we felt like we had something to prove. We had a chip on our shoulder. And that's what good teams can do. Respond in the face of adversity. And the Chiefs last night, on a national stage, in front of one of the greatest ever do it, though he's not had a typical Tom Brady season, and Tom played well last night. He threw for more yards than Patrick Mahomes. He didn't turn the ball over through the air. He did have that fumble when Legarius Sneed had the strip sack. And tip of my cap to Chris Jones to just fall on the ball, because there's been times where he's tried to pick it up and run with it. They just knew needed to get the ball back. I tip my cap to Matthew Wright, who came in, and we said this on our three keys of the game on Thursday with the special teams. Don't be noticed. Don't be a talking point. And yes, we are actively talking about the special teams, but they did their job. Matthew Wright made every extra point, made a 44-yard field goal, kicked it off just fine. Like, that's exactly what they need from a practice squad kicker. It was a flawless game offensively. The only downside I could really point out was on that fourth and one. It was a great play call, great design, great throw. Clyde Edwards-Helaire just dropped the ball in the flat. He had 20, 30 yards to go. But that was a great design. It was the Chiefs team. When that offense is rolling, there's nobody stopping them. Not the number one ranked defense in the NFL, not the 85 Bears, not the 02 Ravens. Nobody can stop that offense when it's rolling. Not when Patrick Mahomes is doing spin moves, avoiding the Bucs defensive front and just floating it like a layup to a guy wide open in the end zone. When you get a Chiefs team like that, getting Juju involved, getting MVS involved, Jody Fortson catching a touchdown pass, Noah Gray, QB sneaking it into the end zone, they pulled out all the stops. There was the Bucs defensive front, the Bucs defensive coordinator, the Bucs coaching staff, everybody involved with the defensive scheming for Tampa Bay last night had no idea who to cover because everybody was involved. Noah Gray, Jody Fortson, Juju, MVS, Travis Kelce, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Jerick McKinnon, Isaiah Pacheco. Hell, they probably were expecting at some point for Nick Allegretti to catch a touchdown pass. And when you get a Chiefs team that everything is working like that, and I mean everything, there's nobody in this league that can stop them. You know, the Bills are banged up right now, and everybody understands that the toughest competition to the Kansas City Chiefs is the Buffalo Bills. Now, the Buffalo Bills are hurt, and I think after last weekend, we all looked at it and said, this is a team that is going to beat Kansas City because you weren't high after the performance against Indianapolis. You were worried about this team. Maybe they really did need Tyreek Hill. And yes, there are going to be games that we revert back to that. For someone covering this team, if you're a fan of this team, there are definitely going to be performances where Tyreek Hill would have helped them out. He's a generational talent. But last night was not one of those nights. And the refreshing point of all of this is that it was the number one ranked defense in the NFL. They had turned the ball over amongst the best in the league. They had gotten to the quarterback. And they did, from time to time, get pressure on Patrick Mahomes. But he eluded all of it. He was the unstoppable version of Patrick Mahomes last night. And there's still a ways to go for him this season. You know, it was a great performance. I give him a B+, A minus. I know that the box score, the stat line doesn't look as pretty as it usually does. He didn't throw for 400 plus and five passing touchdowns. But I thought Mahomes managed the game exceptionally well. Clyde Edwards-Helaire had his best rushing game, in my opinion, since the performance in Buffalo 2 years ago in the rain. Not off of stat sheets, not off a box score, but the way that he looked, the way he was involved. All around, one of the best performances we've seen from Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And that's coming off a performance in which he had seven rushes for no yards. Bouncing back, that's important. And that's the key point of this game. That is what we're all going to focus on. I'm somebody that I watch ESPN and NFL Network in the morning. And of course, I listen to the Border Patrol. I get my fix in the morning before I come into work and do this show on what the national media and local media is saying about the Chiefs, about other teams in this league. And all last week, the media is talking about, well, this won't be close, right? This defense is too much for Patrick Mahomes. Bart Scott, we've said Bart Scott's name a hell of a lot on this show. Bart Scott said it wasn't even going to be close, that the Bucs were going to blow out the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, Bart Scott's just a hot take type of guy. He'll throw anything and hopes it sticks against the wall. There's no legitimacy to it. He's just hoping that it turns out well. But those are the type of words. Those are the sayings. Those are the sentences. Those are the phrases the Chiefs need. Because there is nothing in this league more dangerous than a pissed off Chiefs team. A pissed off Patrick Mahomes. And we saw it last night. That was a team that was pissed off. And they use it to fuel them. And there's still going to be people doubting them. Hell, there's going to be people next week. Monday Night Football at Arrowhead. House of Horrors for Derek Carr and the Las Vegas Raiders. There will be people that give bulletin board material to the Kansas City Chiefs. You know why? Simply none other than the Raiders beat the Broncos. Oh, they're back on track now. There's nobody that can defend Devontae Adams. Josh Jacobs rushed for 100 yards or over 100 yards yesterday against Denver, a great Denver defense. People find ways. But it's important to point out that if you are trying to slay the dragon in Kansas City, and the Colts did it. The Colts did it last week, and it was not a long time. It wasn't years ago that an inferior team beat the Kansas City Chiefs. But also to point out here, I think everybody expected last weekend the Chiefs to blow out Indianapolis. It wasn't going to be close. Hell, I even said on the show, and I can admit when I'm wrong, I said there it was going to take a hell of a lot of mistakes for the Chiefs to even be close in the fourth quarter, or the Colts to be close in the fourth quarter. As it turned out, there were a lot of mistakes. Special teams induced. It was a bad performance. But the great thing about this team and why it's structurally built so well is that they can turn it around in 1 week and on the national stage. And we also mentioned this on the show last week. There is no better time to play a great team than the week after you have a clunker, a stinker, whatever you want to call it. When you play poorly, you want to wash that away with a resounding win over a great football team. And the Chiefs had that opportunity. You don't want to welcome the Seattle Seahawks to Arrowhead Stadium after losing to Indianapolis, because guess what? People will expect you to blow them out. If you don't get it done, people are upset. People are pissed off. And now we completely just forget about the Colts game because you're riding high after a performance like this. Tampa Bay is going to be a team that wins the NFC South. It's a weak division. And there's still a chance at the end of the year in Glendale, the Chiefs and Bucks face off again. And yes, this could be similar to what happened 2 years ago, right? The Chiefs, not comfortably, but built a big lead early on against Tampa in Tampa and hung on to win. And then later on that year, they got bludgeoned in the Super Bowl. But wins like this are so vitally important. And in the stretch they're entering right now, they needed to have. 7 days ago today, 1 week, we sat here doing this show. And I think for those of you listening, we all would have said the same thing. Right? I don't think they're going to beat Tampa. I don't think they're going to beat Buffalo. You hope you can just beat the Raiders and the 49ers, get to the bye week, get healthy. And now we look at it and go, hell, they can run the table. They can beat the Raiders at home. Hell, they should beat the Raiders at home. You don't think they can beat Buffalo again? Just look to last night. It's a team that can do a lot of damage. And yes, they very well could still lose two of those games, maybe even three. But it's about the momentum, and that was a massive momentum swing last night for Kansas City. To bash in the number one defense in the NFL, it's important. And to show they could do it without Tyreek Hill, everybody's forgetting about that Colts performance. And now we're all back on the train. Maybe you never left. Maybe you never criticized them. I sure had my fair share of criticism, and there will be times that we criticize this team again. Last night, not going to criticize him, not even the defense. The defense did enough in that game. Tampa Bay scored 14 points in the second half. They outscored Kansas City. But you know what? It was the first half I look at. They did enough. And now the Chiefs are 3-1, head back home to Arrowhead Stadium for Monday Night Football against the Las Vegas Raiders. Marco, before we go to break, takeaways on this game. How important, and we know it was a big one, but how important is it to beat a team like Tampa Bay like this? I think we all would have been satisfied maybe with a 14-10 win. It would have been ugly, but a win is a win on primetime, on the national stage. You would take it. But how important is it to not only beat Tampa Bay, but to put up 41 on that type of defense?
Well, I mean, you know, when I think about that performance yesterday for the Chiefs offense, because the defense has played well over the last four games, but for the offense, I go back to that one video that circulated Twitter many times before. Even Kelce has referenced in past, but they got their swagger back yesterday, and it showed early on. And that was a big thing that Todd Bowles talked about in the pressers leading up to that game, was that the Bucs defense, they have a disadvantage on the opening first two or three drives for them this year, and the Chiefs exposed that right off the bat, going 3-for-3 with three touchdowns on their first three drives to start the game. Of course, one of them was the help of a special teams turnover, but still, you got the ball back and you took advantage of that turnover and got 7 points because of it. So, swagger's back for the offense, but I think the big takeaway for me is that if this is how the team is going to answer back, or if this is what the Chiefs are going to look like after a week of where they know what to focus on now and what to work on and that sort of stuff, then I wouldn't be too concerned about this Chiefs team following a bad performance, because this was a team that lost to Indianapolis. They know that they should have won that game. Indianapolis had a great game plan against them, but still the Chiefs didn't execute on all the things that they needed to. And they took that into their mentality into the week. And so when it was game planning, film, practicing and getting things right so that you would be able to execute them this past Sunday night down in Tampa, they were going to be ready to do it. So this Chiefs team, I think now, Jack, it's like back in school. You failed the first exam. What do? You go back and you look how you can be better and do better next time. And that's what the Chiefs did. They lost badly against Indianapolis, and they found a way to do things better during the week leading up to the next game. So that's it. This Chiefs team, right now, it seems like they figured out how to prepare each week and how to go into the new week leading up to another game in the NFL going forward. And that's all you can ask for. And so they bounced back immensely, but they did it in a way that it wasn't just, okay, here's the game plan for the Buccaneers, let's go execute. No, it's much more that goes into it, and it showed. And you heard him in the press conference, and you heard players like Kelce and Mahomes in the presser, in the postgame pressers yesterday, that the week leading up to this game, they went hard in developing the game plan and making sure that the things that didn't, went wrong in the game before didn't happen in Tampa Bay. And, well, look at that. It got better offensively, and it got better special teams. Each side of the football that needed to improve did so, and that's what helped the Chiefs not only execute five touchdowns in the red zone, but get a nice blowout win. I'm calling it a blowout and agreeing with you that some garbage time points helped the Buccaneers in the end. So, it looked like the week one game against Arizona last night, and that's all you can ask for.
Certainly. A great bounce-back win for the Kansas City Chiefs. They're now 3-1, and will head back home to take on divisional rival. It's Raider week. I guess you can count it to be Raider week, though the game will happen next week. It's going to be a little bit thrown off there. But Chiefs 3-1, Raiders 1-3 next Monday night at Arrowhead Stadium. So we will have to push back some of our segments. We'll have three keys to the game. I guess we can still do it. We'll move it to Friday this time, and then we will have three heroes on game day next Monday for Chiefs and Raiders. When we come back here, college football talk. Both Kansas and Kansas State are winners. College game day is coming to Lawrence this Saturday for two ranked opponents, TCU and Kansas. We'll get into all of it next, right here on The Shift on 94.5 FM and 1510 AM ESPN Kansas City.
Receding hairlines, bald spots, thinning hair, many try medications, foams, special shampoos, or supplements. But the best method for restoring your hair is simple. Transferring your own hair follicles to the places you need them. I'm Dr. Jeff Markey with Ascentus Plastic Surgery. We perform hair transplants with cutting-edge artist robotics to get the single best result for each patient with the least amount of downtime. Contact Ascentus Hair Restoration or visit KansasCityHairTransplant.com for a free consultation. Surgical precision with hair restoration performed by plastic surgeons only at Ascentus Hair Restoration.
For those who believe some of the best memories are made in flip-flops, ProBuilt Pool and Patio salutes you. Summer may be in the rearview mirror, but we prefer to live it 24/7. As the largest in-ground fiberglass pool builder in the Midwest, ProBuilt Pool and Patio specializes in making your outdoor oasis come to life, no matter the season. For the best in backyard pools and spas, ProBuilt dials up the creativity with the perfect gift for yourself and your family. Call 816-786-3893 or visit us at ProBuiltPatio.com.
Everyone knows Family Leisure is having the world's biggest spa sale. Did you know it's also time to save hundreds, even thousands on patio furniture, pool tables, shuffleboard, and more? You can beef up your entertainment area with couches, sectionals, and theater seating now on sale at Family Leisure. Make it a September to remember with special 810 listener pricing at Family Leisure. Spas, basketball goals, play sets, trampolines, everything for family and fun together on sale at Family Leisure. K10 in Ridgeview in Olathe.
913-888-7727.
Awesome!
If you want to check out the best local music talent in town, then you have to come to the Final Final. The Final Final at 127th and Metcalf has live music on Friday and Saturday nights. The new Overland Park Lounge that's hiding in plain sight. The Final Final at 127th and Metcalf. Open Wednesday through Saturday, 4 p.m. to midnight, and they're serving up delicious cocktails and small bites. Look for the payphone sign at 127th and Metcalf. TheFinalFinalClub.com.
This weekend at Harrah's North Kansas City Casino, Royals rookie Bobby Witt Jr. will be doing his first ever public signing. The largest sports card and memorabilia show to hit KC in years. Bo Jackson, Alex Gordon, George Karloftis, Ricky Henderson, Marcus Allen, and of course, Bobby Witt Jr. Tickets on sale at gtsportsmarketing.com. That's gtsportsmarketing.com or at the door. This weekend at Harrah's North Kansas City Casino.
Miles Schneer's Crown Toyota and Crown Volkswagen, annually recognized by the Best of Lawrence for the best place to buy a new car, best place to buy a used car, best auto service repair, and best auto body shop. Visit CrownAutomotive.com to see the latest deals and to schedule expert services. Experience the Crown difference and experience Pitt State football. Go Gorillas! Crown Toyota and Crown Volkswagen, 3400 South Iowa, Lawrence, Kansas.
Ready to change your life? Get a smile you'll love to the moon and back. Expert orthodontist Dr. Moon and his friendly team use the latest technology to make your journey fast, precise, and affordable. They invite patients of all ages to experience warm orthodontic care in a family-friendly atmosphere. Serving all ages in Olathe and Overland Park while offering the latest technology in orthodontic care. It's Moon Orthodontics. Revolutionize your smile with a free consultation. Visit moonortho.com.
The last two pandemic years meant websites have been more important than ever. But websites are just one tool. For the past 26 years, Digital Lagoon, located right here in Overland Park, has been developing websites, but also providing comprehensive digital marketing programs. They use social media, SEO, and targeted online ads. WHB used Digital Lagoon when they wanted a major upgrade to the ESPN Kansas City website. Working with the programmers, graphic designers, and marketing specialists face-to-face was a great experience. Contact Jordan at DigitalLagoon.com.
Hey, Kansas City. This is Jack Johnson from ESPN Kansas City. I'm here to let you know that your favorite sportsbook, BetUS.com, is back for its 28th year of NFL action. With the industry's biggest sign-up bonus of up to 200%, BetUS offers its members the opportunity to cash in on all your favorite leagues, including the NFL, NBA, MLB, and more. They've also got hundreds of new casino games, including the coolest European slots, and their live dealers are waiting for you at the tables. You need a sportsbook with integrity and longevity, and you need to know that you're going to get paid. You need a sportsbook that offers everything, including live betting, MMA, golf, horses, esports, and all kinds of crazy bets. Call today at 1-800-79-BETUS. That's 1-800-79-BETUS, and they'll walk you through setting up your account. Nobody in the industry gives you better bonuses than BetUS. Join now and mention BetUS 2022. That's BetUS 2022. And you get up to 200% in bonuses on your first deposit. Nobody can beat that. So head to BetUS.com and join today. That's BetUS, where the game begins. It's The Shift on 94.5 FM and 1510 AM ESPN Kansas City. I'm your host, Jack Johnson, alongside Marco Marquez. Another weekend, another winning weekend, I should say, for Kansas and Kansas State. And in it being another winning weekend, both teams are now ranked. And for one of those teams, talking about the Kansas Jayhawks, they will be hosting College Game Day in Lawrence, Kansas for the first time in program history. They're back in the AP top 25. Kansas State is 20th. Kansas is 19th. TCU, Kansas's opponent on Saturday, is ranked 17th in the country. And the Jayhawks, for the first time since 2009, have started their season 5-0. There have been criticisms for not having a very tough schedule, but here's the thing. At the end of the day, Kansas can only can control what they can really can control. And that's the team they play in front of them. They can't do anything about the scheduling, the players, that is. They just have to go out there and play them. And they have to try to win those games. And they are a perfect 5-for-5 in year two of the Lance Leipold era. Now, Saturday was the ugliest performance they've had by far this season, as they were winners 14-11 over the 3-1 Iowa State Cyclones, now, of course, 3-2. But here's the silver lining in it. Iowa State has a top 10 defense in the country, or they did coming in. And Kansas only scored 14 points, all of which came in the second quarter. One of those touchdowns was aided by an interception by Kobe Bryant when Iowa State was backed up to their own goal line. But nonetheless, they scored enough to get it done. And that's important to note here, because with Kansas playing their C-minus game, defensively, I'll give him an A. Offensively, I give him a C-minus, maybe a D-plus. In the play calling, their effectiveness throwing the ball. I mean, Jalen Daniels only threw the ball 14 times. He was 7-14 for 93 yards, no touchdowns, no picks, QBR of 43.4. It was not a great performance offensively. But you look back at what happened, and I think Kansas teams of old, hell, you can go back to last year. Kansas lost to Iowa State last year in Ames by 52 points. And I think for the last 13 years, if Kansas gave you a C-minus to C performance, they lose by 20-plus. It's just that simple. But Kansas played poorly. Iowa State played worse. But you get out with another conference win. You're now 2-0 in Big 12 play. You played two of the bottom teams in the conference in West Virginia and Iowa State. And you have a much tougher schedule now upcoming. You get TCU, who's ranked this weekend. You get Oklahoma in Norman, and say what you want about Oklahoma, it's still Oklahoma. Then you get Baylor on the road, and you get Oklahoma State at home. You play the four toughest teams in the conference for the next 4 weeks. You need one more win for bowl eligibility, and I think that's everything on Kansas fans' mind. Just be bowl eligible. In 09, you started 5-0 and lost seven consecutive times. You don't want history to repeat itself. You want to find a way to win seven or eight games this year, which would be every fan's dream, or would have been every fan's dream back in the offseason. But back to the game at hand here. Iowa State, they missed three field goals, including the one at the very end. He's a true freshman kicker. That can happen. It was probably all mental at that point. I mean, the last miss he had missed by a good 60, 70 feet. That looked like a kicker that was more dealing with things mentally, a mental block, than not physically being able to make a 38-yard field goal. But Kansas will take it. Devin Neal on the game, 12 carries, 75 yards. The one major downside of this game is Daniel Hyshaw had to leave the game on a stretcher in the cart. So his season is likely over. I believe the word was that he had a dislocated hip. And as one does, you go on Google to see how long the recovery time is. And from what I got on a dislocated hip, it's about 2 to 3 months. So I think we can assume at this point that Daniel Hyshaw's season is over. But we'll wait and see maybe on the actual word and the timetable for his return. This is one of those types of games where it went back and forth a lot. And tip of the cap to the defense, tip of the cap to Brian Borland and what his staff was able to do. It's not a great Iowa State offense. We mentioned on the show last week, they were the worst scoring offense in the Big 12, but had the best scoring defense in the Big 12. And something was going to give. What's funny is that Iowa State's defense played really well and Kansas's offense played really well. So nothing really gave. It came down to special teams. And Kansas was, I guess, just better in that regard. They got stops when it mattered most. They got turnovers when it mattered most. They didn't score in the second half. And if I were to tell you in this game, before the game that is, Kansas would not score for three of the four quarters, would you think they'd win? Hell no. They would have lost by 14 to 20. You just would have naturally gone to that, being the pessimist that most Kansas football fans are. You don't expect good things to happen. And now a great thing has happened. You're 5-0. You're 19th in the country. Kansas football, top 20 in the nation. And you're hosting College Game Day. Kansas is hosting College Game Day before they've lost a game this season. If there was some bet on MGM, DraftKings, FanDuel, whatever you use to put money down on it, can you imagine the odds? If there was some bet out there in the offseason, Kansas would host College Game Day before they've lost a football game, there may be one or two people that bet on it, put through $10 down on it, and the payout would have been enormous. And it's going to be a wild weekend in Lawrence. Now, the odd thing about it is you always imagine that, you know, College Game Day, you get a 2:30 kick, you get a 6 p.m. kick, whatever the case may be, but sometimes it doesn't work out that way. So my guess is that they will host College Game Day at the bottom of the hill with the crowd stacking up behind them, leading all the way up to Campanile at the top. And then for the last hour of College Game Day, they'll go right inside the stadium, likely right inside where the Jumbotron is, or a little bit closer to the field, maybe where the team runs out of. But when they're done, the game will go to Fox Sports 1 because it probably comes down to media rights. You're not going to be able to push that game to ESPN. So Kansas will be on College Game Day, but then when kickoff's at 11, you'll have to turn to FS1. And they also came out with word today, this morning that is, that Kansas and Oklahoma will kick off at 11 a.m. So a lot of 11 a.m. kicks through the first 7 weeks of the college football season for Kansas. They had 11 a.m. against Duke. They had 11 a.m., of course, this weekend against TCU, and they'll have 11 a.m. against Oklahoma. That game will be on either ABC or ESPN2. But no complaints. Hell, I know that the criticism will be that Kansas hasn't played anybody. They're not as good as their record shows, but 5-0 is 5-0. And you would have to add up a couple of years in the past, the last 13 years, to equal up to 5 wins. It's great for the state. I know if you're a rival, I don't blame anybody for rooting against Kansas, and there's going to be a lot of people that want to see Kansas get blown out when they host College Game Day. And TCU's a damn good team. They just boat raced the Oklahoma Sooners. So Kansas knows what they're up against. You're hoping if you're Kansas, TCU underestimates you like a lot of teams have this year. And you find a way to be bowl eligible. You go 6-0. This is the best opponent that Kansas has faced. And there really will be no way around it. You know, for the last 4 weeks, it's been, well, you know, West Virginia is not very good. And they're an average team. They may not win 6 games this year. But they went into Morgantown and they won. Then it was Houston's not very good. And Houston lost to Tulane, who had their third string quarterback in the game on Friday night. And then you go, well, Duke's not a very good team. Duke's 4-1, but I get it. They haven't played really anybody either. But their lone loss is Kansas. And then it was Iowa State, right? Another Big 12 team, but not one of the better Big 12 teams. Kansas can only control what they can control, and that's playing the team in front of them. And they've beaten all 5. But if you really want to earn the respect, and there will be no way around it, if Kansas beats TCU on Saturday, that's a damn good team. And that's a team right now that has an 18% chance to win the Big 12 title because of how jumbled the Big 12 really is. There's no clear favorite right now. I guess you could say Oklahoma State, but you feel like even at some point they will trip up. So Kansas, after their 14-11 win over Iowa State, moved to 5-0, 2-0 in conference play. They're now 19th in the country and will be hosting number 17 TCU this Saturday for College Game Day. It will start at 8 a.m. and kickoff will be at 11 a.m. on FS1 for the Jayhawks and Horned Frogs. As for Kansas State, They are 4-1 now, 2-0 in conference play after their 37-28 win over the Texas Tech Red Raiders. It started fantastic for Adrian Martinez, Deuce Vaughn, and the Wildcats. They opened up a 13-0 lead at the end of one quarter, and then they stalled for a little bit. Only scored once over the next two quarters, but pulled away in the end to score 17 in the fourth and final quarter. In this game, Adrian Martinez was 12 of 19, 116 yards, but had 171 yards on the ground and three touchdowns, four touchdowns in total for Adrian Martinez. He's now the front runner for both Kansas and Kansas State in Heisman odds. He surpassed Deuce Vaughn and Jalen Daniels. Deuce Vaughn himself had 23 carries in the game, 170 yards, also had one catch for 11 yards. This Kansas State team will go just about as far as those two take them. They are two dynamic playmakers. Adrian Martinez, the last 2 weeks, has looked the best he's ever had in his entire career. Maybe it took that kick in the ass that Tulane gave him. But still, a win is a win, and that's why I'm not going to criticize a win for Kansas State here. Texas Tech is not a dominant force in the Big 12. They will be a team that competes for six or seven wins, but you took care of business, and you won comfortably when it was all said and done. Yes, it got close in the third quarter. It was tied up at 20, but you outscored Tech 17-0 after. You had 17 unanswered points before Tech had a garbage time touchdown and two-point conversion when it was all said and done. It's a good win. And as for Kansas, same thing with Kansas State. They only can control what they can control, and they're 4-1 right now. Now they go play who Kansas just played, up in Ames, Iowa State for Farmageddon. Primetime kickoff, 6:30. Now, Kansas State is the much better team. It's a tough place to go into and win. And I still believe Matt Campbell's a damn good coach, and he'll have them ready to play. And you may look at it and go, well, if Kansas State wins, they're 5-1. They'll be top 20. And depending what Kansas does, they might leapfrog Kansas just after 1 week. But it's a game that I think can still earn you a lot of respect. And I think the only knock on Kansas State right now is you think about if you're a Kansas State fan and go, man, if we only beat Tulane, we could argue the point of being top 10 right now. Maybe top 12, top 15 for sure. But that one slip up just kind of stings a little bit because you know they were not that bad. They were a much better team than that. They just got caught off guard by a really good Tulane defense. And now you've got Adrian Martinez playing the best ball of his career for the last 2 weeks. And you'll have your toughest challenge offensively going up to Ames, colder weather now, and you get the best scoring defense in the Big 12. You could argue just the best defense in the Big 12, a top 20 defense nationally. Big test for Kansas State as they now have a very tough schedule coming up. Not to say it hasn't been tough already. You know, you got a pretty good Tulane team. You faced Missouri, who took Georgia to the brink of defeat. Had to have a late score for the number one ranked Bulldogs to come out victorious, but Kansas State blasted Missouri 40-12 in Manhattan. But you look at what's upcoming for Kansas State. You have Iowa State this coming Saturday, late night kickoff 6:30 in Ames on ESPNU. Then after Iowa State, you will get TCU in Fort Worth. Then you'll host number 7 Oklahoma State. You'll host Texas, and you'll get Baylor on the road. That's a really, really, really tough five-game stretch for Kansas State. Then you get West Virginia and Morgantown, and of course, the game that everyone here locally is salivating over, the Sunflower Showdown, November 26th, Thanksgiving weekend, against number 19 Kansas. Who knows where both teams will be ranked at that time, if at all. But good win for Kansas State on Saturday. They move to 4-1 and 2-0. In conference play. The Red Raiders fall to 3-2 and 1-1 in conference play. Wildcats and Iowa State, 6:30 on ESPNU this Saturday. Kansas at 11 a.m. against number 17 TCU in Lawrence for College Game Day. When we come back, we'll wrap up the show with some more NFL talk, go around what happened in the league yesterday, and of course, wrap it up with some fact or fiction. You're listening to The Shift on 94.5 FM and 1510 AM ESPN Kansas City.
Hollywood Casino at Kansas Speedway has Kansas City's only sportsbook. Bet on your favorite Kansas City sports teams while playing the newest slot machines, doubling down on the hottest table games, or indulging in amazing food options. Barstool Sportsbook and Hollywood Casino at Kansas Speedway. The best bet before, after, and now on every game.
Must be 21. Gambling problem? Getting help is your best bet. Call 800-522-4700 or visit ksgamblinghelp.com.
In these trying times, Kansas City Credit Union knows how important cash flow is in your household. With rates near all-time lows, now's the time to take action. Free up some cash by lowering your monthly car loan payment when you refinance your auto loan with Kansas City Credit Union. And as a bonus, Kansas City Credit Union will delay your payments for 90 days. Visit kansascitycreditunion.com/810sports for more information. Kansas City Credit Union, your path to financial freedom.
Hello, this is John Barnes, chairperson of the For the Kids Foundation. Do you know that 1 in 5 children experience a mental health condition in a given year? And at least 50% of teens experiencing a mental health condition never receive treatment. These heartbreaking stats are why suicide is now the second leading cause of death for those between the ages of 10 and 34. The For the Kids Foundation is partnering with Children's Mercy Hospital to play an aggressive offense to address the growing mental health crisis with our youth. Visit forthekidskc.org and see how you can help.
The days of build it and they will come are over for websites. You need much more to stand out in the crowd. Digital Lagoon has been developing websites since 1995 and are experts in creating the perfect social media campaign, SEO, and other marketing programs to really bring in business. WHB chose Digital Lagoon to develop the website for our sister station, ESPN Kansas City, and couldn't be more pleased. You'll enjoy working with their programmers, graphic design, and marketing specialists located right here in Overland Park. Contact Jordan at digitallagoon.com.
Receding hairlines, bald spots, thinning hair, many try medications, foams, special shampoos, or supplements. But the best method for restoring your hair is simple. Transferring your own hair follicles to the places you need them. I'm Dr. Jeff Markey with Ascentist Plastic Surgery. We perform hair transplants with cutting-edge Artis robotics to get the single best result for each patient with the least amount of downtime. Contact Ascentist Hair Restoration or visit KansasCityHairTransplant.com for a free consultation. Surgical precision with hair restoration performed by plastic surgeons only at Ascentist Hair Restoration.
Miles Schneer's Crown Toyota and Crown Volkswagen, annually recognized by the Best of Lawrence for the best place to buy a new car, best place to buy a used car, best auto service repair, and best auto body shop. Visit CrownAutomotive.com to see the latest deals and to schedule expert services. Experience the Crown difference and experience Pitt State football. Go Gorillas! Crown Toyota and Crown Volkswagen, 3400 South Iowa, Lawrence, Kansas.
Guys, as the male body ages, testosterone levels steadily decline, and your bodies become increasingly unable to produce healthy levels of the primary male hormone, testosterone. At Regain Functional Medicine, we can help you regain your quality of life with testosterone replacement therapy. TRT improves brain function, sleep cycles, heart health, performance, and overall body composition so you can feel better, function better, move better, and look better. Visit us today at IFeelMuchBetter.com. Regain Functional Medicine, with locations in Lawrence and Leawood. Regain is better.
Get ready for Monday Night Football with the KC Legends Show, hosted by Bill Moss, live from Barstool Sportsbook inside Hollywood Casino. Bill's special guest this week will be former Chiefs wide receiver Mark Boerichter. They'll break down the Chiefs and Bucks and get you ready for the Rams and 49ers on Monday Night Football. There's no better place than Barstool Sportsbook inside Hollywood Casino to place your bets. Featuring 16 betting kiosks, 5 betting windows, and 45 HD TVs. Come check it out with the KC Legends Show Monday at 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
We are back here on The Shift on 94.5 FM and 1510 AM ESPN Kansas City. I'm your host, Jack Johnson, alongside Marco Marquez. With any dream, the wind won't always be at your back. The sun won't always be shining, and some rain is going to fall. American Family Insurance is like a good, solid roof that you can trust to protect your biggest dreams. With plans that could save you up to 22% when you bundle your home and auto, all so you continue to dream fearlessly no matter what comes your way. Visit Kim Howard and Associates Agency at 105th and Metcalf in Overland Park, or give Kim and her team a call at 913-649-2002. That's 913-649-2002 for a quote on your home and auto insurance today. Final 12-ish minutes of the show. We'll go around the NFL, what happened yesterday, and of course wrap it up with some fact or fiction. Maybe the biggest storyline of the noon slate yesterday was what happened in Baltimore between the Bills and the Ravens. The Ravens at one point led 20-3. And then Buffalo, with their backs against the wall, responded with 20 unanswered points. kick the game-winning field goal from inside of 25 yards, and they walk out victorious in a not must-have it type of performance, but as we just mentioned with the Chiefs and Bucks, the Bills lost to Miami. They wanted to bounce back with a very impressive victory over a very impressive team. And early on, things looked ugly. Josh Allen had an interception on his first series. But then when it mattered most, who crumbled? Not Josh Allen and the Bills. It was Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens. And that just very well might always be the knock on Baltimore. They're always going to be, with Lamar Jackson, a competitive and tough and good football team. But what separates them from the Kansas City Chiefs, the Buffalo Bills, hell, I guess you can throw in some NFC teams, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, maybe the LA Rams of last year, to get to a Super Bowl, right? To win in the postseason. When you struggle as badly as Baltimore did in the second half, you have to find a way to crawl out of it. You have to find a way to win that game ugly. Winning ugly is the same result as winning pretty. And Baltimore looked flawless for the first half of that game. But Buffalo slowly started to creep back. And when things got close, when things got tight, they got nervous. They started peeing down their leg. And Buffalo didn't. Buffalo was up to the task. And to come out victorious in the way they did, it says a lot about Buffalo, with as banged up as they are. They beat one of their competitors, one of the top competitors in the AFC. And it's still that type of team. It's still that type of performance that Lamar Jackson needs to be thrown into the same category as Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. But the unfortunate reality for Lamar Jackson is now he doesn't get the same credit as Justin Herbert does, as Joe Burrow does. Some guys are leapfrogging him. Now, he kind of ruled out Baltimore because last year they were so hurt, so banged up, and weren't very good. And they've only won one postseason game under Lamar Jackson. And it's games like this where you look at Buffalo, you look at Kansas City. You know, last year you looked at Cincinnati, that they won games like this. And Baltimore just hasn't been able to do it. And Lamar Jackson, though he was my vote to be MVP through the first 3 weeks, he was not very good yesterday. He had some remarkable and talented plays, but Josh Allen was the better quarterback at the end of it. Now, the one thing with Baltimore is there might always be some drama surrounding them. Lamar Jackson in the offseason with the contract. You know, at times there's been drama with John Harbaugh, and there was more drama yesterday. Marcus Peters was visibly upset, allegedly got in the face of John Harbaugh after the game-winning field goal, because I think Marcus Peters wanted the Baltimore defense just to let him score, not burn all the clock out. And maybe John Harbaugh didn't agree with it. It would have been the right move in hindsight. But that's not the outcome I think Baltimore fans had envisioned after their start, that by the end of it, you'd have a player screaming at his head coach and having to be restrained. So the Bills and Ravens were the big talking point in the noon slate. Of course, the Cowboys took care of business. Cooper Rush is now 4-0 as starter as of the Dallas Cowboys. They win 25-10 over the Washington Commanders. The Lions are 1-3, but they have one of the most prolific offenses I've seen through 4 weeks. They lose to Seattle 48-45. By the way, I don't know if you knew this, Marco. The over-under for this game was 49.5. Seattle scored 48 with Geno Smith. The Lions got 45 with Jared Goff. Bonkers stuff, that is, in Detroit between the Lions and the Seahawks. Then in the later slate, of course, the Chargers beat the Texans, nearly coughed it up when it was all said and done, but a banged-up Chargers team beats the Texans 34-24. The Titans hang on and beat the bad Colts team who beat Kansas City last weekend. But now for the 325 slate, some things that stuck out to me. The Eagles are 4-0 now, and still my favorite to be the number one seed in the NFC, and the Jags, I think, are a lot better than people expected. They're 2-2, but led Philly at one point on the road 14-0, but then got outscored 29-7 and some bad weather up in Philly. The Jets hung on to beat the Steelers 24-20. It was the Kenny Pickett debut game, and the funny stat line about Kenny Pickett, and I thought for the most part he played pretty well. The stat line's not going to show that, because Kenny Pickett was 10 of 13. Of his 3 incompletions, all of them were interceptions. I don't know the last time that's happened in an NFL game. Now, one of them, I don't really want to count because it was a Hail Mary at the end. You just have to give it a chance. That's not an interception anybody would blame him for. He's got an arm. I think for the most part, he was accurate, but a couple of bad throws, three bad throws, that is, all turned into turnovers for Kenny Pickett. But the defense couldn't get a stop when it was all said and done, and the Jets moved to 2-2 after their 24-20 win over Pittsburgh. They've now lost three in a row. The Packers right now are concerning me a little bit. The Packers, in facing Brian Hoyer and Bailey Zappe, who, by the way, has been on the Shane Dennis Show in ESPN Wichita, so give a shout-out to Shane Dennis, a big fan of Bailey Zappe. They went into Lambeau and took the Packers into overtime, and all of overtime. The Patriots actually had the ball in overtime. But their offense just wasn't good enough to keep up with Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay. But Green Bay is 3-1 and may have three of the most unimpressive wins we've seen. They beat a bad Chicago team. They beat Tampa Bay 14-12, so I'll give them that. It's a good win, but the offense just hasn't been there. Aaron Rodgers has not looked very good without Devontae Adams. That's a suspect receiving core right now. But nonetheless, they're 3-1, and New England is 1-3. And lastly, another AFC West game, the last one that was on our docket, the Raiders and the Broncos. The Raiders finally get in the win column after beating the Broncos in Vegas 32-23. Marco, one thing I'll say here before going to fact or fiction. Did you know, through four games this season, Geno Smith has better numbers than Russell Wilson?
No, but not surprised. I started Geno Smith in two of my fantasy leagues yesterday, and it paid off.
It certainly did. And though the Broncos are 2-2, it's been an ugly four games for Denver. And they had their chance, certainly, to win that game late yesterday, but their offense just couldn't move the ball. And that's not a very good Raiders defense. But the Raiders offense finally had their coming out party, to quote Shaq Barrett there. Devontae Adams was good. Josh Jacobs was phenomenal. And Derek Carr did enough to win that game. They got over 30 points against that Denver defense. And right now, I just don't see much change in the AFC West. It's not as different as I believe it to be, as many believe it to be, because the Chiefs are still the front runner, and nobody in that division is really scaring me if I'm the Kansas City Chiefs. So that is our Around the NFL, and with that, we'll now switch over to some fact or fiction. Five questions, five takes, in under 5 minutes. Marco, fire away.
Jack, fact or fiction, the Chiefs won't lose before the bye week.
I still think there'll be a loss in there. I'm going to go it's going to be Buffalo at home. That just feels like the more likely one of these final games here. You have the Raiders at home. I don't see that being a loss, not on primetime, not with the house of horrors that it's been for Derek Carr. I don't see them losing to Jimmy G in the Bay Area. I think there's only three games left now before the bye week for Kansas City. I think it's right after San Francisco in week 7, so bye week will be week 8. I think they will go 2-1 over these next three. But it wouldn't shock me again if they found a way to beat Buffalo and go to 3-0 and 6-1 before heading off into the week 8 bye week. So I will go fiction. They won't run the table before that week 8 bye.
Jack, Clyde Edwards-Helaire has over 1,000 scrimmage yards this season.
I feel like I'd have to go dive into the numbers here, but I feel like he would be pacing for it. He's just not involved in the passing game as maybe I thought he would be. And that was always what I thought was the best quality of him. When they took him in the draft, I thought it's because he's great in the receiving game. I think for now, I'll maintain my expectations and go fiction. It also is about health. And Clyde Edwards-Helaire has been injury prone for his first couple years in the league. So I'll go fiction, not over 1,000 scrimmage yards, but I think it will be a career best year for Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
All right, last 3-2. Kansas's defense holds Max Duggan to under 300 total yards.
I think it's going to be a shootout in Lawrence, and Max Duggan's been one of, if not the best quarterback in the Big 12 through the first 5 weeks of the college football season, so I'll go fiction. Though Kansas's defense played great against Iowa State, it's a much different offensive attack in TCU, so I'll go fiction, not holding Max Duggan, to under 300 total yards.
Fact or fiction, Adrian Martinez has over 150 yards passing and 100 yards rushing versus Iowa State.
I'm going to go fiction as well. A lot of fiction today, but that's a really good Iowa State defense, and it's going to be Ames. It's going to be cold, I believe. I haven't checked the weather yet, but I just expect October football in Ames is going to be pretty cold up in Iowa, but that's going to be a tough task or a tough milestone to reach here, if you will. So I'm going to go fiction. Don't see Adrian Martinez having three straight Heisman-type of performances against a defense like Iowa State.
And lastly, fact or fiction, the Buccaneers win more than 10 games this season.
I'm going to go fiction on that as well. So I think that's all five fictions for fact or fiction today. Tampa is going to win that division, but I think 10 wins will do it. To see them have more than that, I just have my doubts about it because they're just not that good offensively. If it does get better, they will have that chance. But if they're only defensively minded here and that's how they'll have to play for the rest of the season, they'll get their wins against the NFC South, but I feel like right now this is not more than a 10-win team. I will go fiction to close out our fact or fiction segment. That wraps up another edition of The Shift on 94.5 FM and 1510 AM ESPN Kansas City. I've been your host, Jack Johnson, alongside Marco Marquez. Talk to you tomorrow at 10 AM, Kansas City. I'll have to pack my things and go.